About this one where this woman lost her dignity.
Well, the disturbing video that we showed you last night might not be the only video that was shot in this controversial case.
The investigator Tom Meyer has more tonight with part two of his exclusive.
What this is, Bill, is the female was arrested, forcibly strip searched by Newnham, Ohio male cops.
Investigation.
Why did you decide to talk with me? I don't want this to happen.
Greg Stuffy and his wife Hope are suing the Stark County Sheriff, accusing deputies of using excessive and outrageous force, an allegation the sheriff denies. But Stuffy says this video, shot by deputies...
from the New York area. 646. Hello, you're live.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hi, it's Brad from New York. Sam Banking and Jeff on the phone. I'm going to keep on mute while I'm driving the car and I'm listening in.
Okay. We're going to go back to the story. I'll leave you open. If you want to comment, just holler.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right,
okay.
Now. Well, let's get back to Petunia and the crazy police department.
Her bra and underwear.
She was never asked, not once, during any period of time, you know, to take off your clothes, please, that there's a reason why, you know, it was for total humiliation.
The Steffies and their lawyers say this is clearly a strip search, and the sheriff has policy for this procedure.
I've got the Stark County Sheriff's Department policy on strip searches. It says, and I quote, the officers conducting the search must be of the same sex as the prisoner. This is Stark County Sheriff's policy.
That's common policy everywhere. They violated their own policy.
The sheriff's office admits deputies left Steffi completely naked in the cell for 6 hours, but they deny this was a strip search. Hope Steffi was convicted on misdemeanor charges of resisting arrest and disorderly conduct, but most of the videos seen in this report was never shown at trial. Now the Steffies have evidence, and they want sheriff deputies held accountable.
It's just wrong that they do this to people. She called for help. She asked them for help, not for this. Not for this. Now, the sheriff isn't talking because of the pending lawsuit, but he did say he feels they did everything by the book. The FBI typically investigates allegations of civil rights violations, but the agency wasn't aware of the Steffi case until Channel 3 News contacted them today. We also have calls into the Stark County prosecutor and the Ohio Attorney General to see if they plan to do anything about all this. Tim and Ramona.
I think the tough part for a lot of people, whether she did something wrong or not, is to see her being undressed with males present. That's the demeaning.
And there also seems to be a real lack of clarity as to what led up to this. But that's being investigated, right?
It is being investigated. She was seeing a cousin in her house, and there another cousin showed up, and there was a fight. Hope Steffi was attacked. The deputy shows up, and Hope is very distraught, leans on the officer. The officers, witnesses tell us, threw her up against the cruiser, and then asked for the driver's license, turned over the wrong driver's license, her deceased sister's license, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of confusion.
Hopefully we can hear from Stark County Sheriff's.
Well, some viewers have accused us of being one-sided. We'd love to talk to the sheriff.
But they can't. But they can't speak because of the.
Well, the disturbing.
That's an excuse. They can speak.
You know what I can't understand here is when I hear isolated cases like that. It's not every day. It's isolated cases, resisting arrest. What were they doing that they were being charged with anything? I don't understand how you can take somebody in. We're arresting you for resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you got to do something wrong?
Yeah.
I've had friends of mine get arrested for this. Arrested for resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're robbing a bank or something, I can see throwing that in there. I don't understand how in America you can get arrested for resisting arrest. What the hell does that make sense?
I have no clue, Bill. You know, it's just like the American dream.
Yeah.
We have a gentleman who wants to tell you about the American dream. His name is George Carlin.
Good old George. He's out there.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions, forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on, good, honest, hardworking people continue, these are people of modest means, continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
What do you think about that?
You know, it's conspiracy, it's crazy stuff and all that, but... You know, this something just won't go away. Maybe there really is something to the fact that there are just a small group of corporations running the whole country. And this has been talked about for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Do just a few corporations trickle down and control all of America and all the world? When I first heard this years ago, I figured, oh, just crazy people. But more and more and more you look into it, everybody's telling us what to do. Everybody's telling us how fast we can drive our cars. Everybody's telling us every single thing there is.
Well, I'm here to tell you.
Know.
I'm here to tell you, Bill. You have no rights.
I have no rights.
You know, according to George here, and this is his other one on our right.
Swearing on the Bible. You understand that, Chad? It tells you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand in the Bible, let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside down backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me.
If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep him on the line. Maybe we catch him in a little bit. 646 and 978. You're both alive and well if you can get through.
Did I get cut off there, Bill?
What are you trying to do? You're making a lot of noise there, buddy.
I don't know. Let me get away from my freezer.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah, while you're fixing that, we're going to go back to George. We'll be right back.
Hey, you got as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Huh? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kids. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you remember when you were a kid? If you told another kid something he didn't quite believe and said, you swear to God, I would always say, yeah, I swear to God, even if I was lying. Why not? What's going to happen if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie, unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story. Sometimes a kid would think he was being slick with me, and he'd say, you swear on your mother's grave? I'd say, yeah. Why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, even if she was dead, what's she going to do? Rise from the grave and come and haunt me? Come and haunt me? All because I told a lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you? Sometimes I would say, I swear on my mother's tits. Kids are impressed with things like that. I mean, I don't care about my mother's tits either. I don't care if they fell off. Fuck her. It's not my problem. They're your tits, Ma. You keep an eye on them. Swearing to God doesn't mean anything. Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because Bible or no Bible, God or no God, if it suits their purposes, people are going to lie in court. The police do it all the time. All the time. Yes, they do. It's part of their job to protect, to serve, and to commit perjury whenever it supports the state's case. Swearing on the Bible is just one more way of controlling people and keeping them in line, and it's one more thing that holds us back as a species. Here's one more item for you, the last in our civics book, rights. Boy, everyone in this country is always running around yammering about their fucking rights. I have a right, you have no right, we have a right, they don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun, but there's no such thing as rights, okay? They're imaginary. We made them up, like the boogeyman. The three little pigs, Pinocchio, Mother Goose, shit like that. Rights are an idea. They're just imaginary. They're a cute idea. Cute. But that's all. Cute and fictional. But if you think you do have rights, let me ask you this. Where do they come from? People say, well, they come from God. They're God-given rights. Oh, fuck, here we go again. Here we go again. The God excuse.
Hello, Pete.
Hey, is this Phil?
Yeah.
Hey,
Paul.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Ben?
Not bad. Everything good for the holidays?
Everything is good. Yeah, just waiting for it to happen, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What? Bill, yeah. This is Paul.
Paul, who's Paul?
Paul Cote from Boston.
Oh, Paul. How are we doing, cousin? Yeah, cousin.
Good.
Good evening,
how are
boys.
You?
You know, Screwdriver and I are a little bit tired because the past 4 weeks we've done charity toy runs, clothing drive runs, and I'll be with you, to be honest with you, excuse me, I'm a little tired. We did a big one Sunday, 500 motorcycles, and a big party went on down there. I'm pretty burnt out. What about you up front? You tired?
Yeah.
What about you? You getting tired of all the hype and all that, the shopping? You getting a little worn out or what?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start tomorrow.
You got to start.
Yes.
I can relate to that. Must be something with you guys from Boston. Bill hasn't started it either.
I don't know what to get my wife. Any suggestions?
Well, I always think of mind, body, and soul. All right.
Talking about my wife.
Get something for her mind, something for her head, you know, whether it's a book or it's a, you know, get her a website, you know, whatever she might be interested in. I mean, you know, you can get a website up for her for $50 or so, right? Something for the body, like clothes or jewelry, you know, even if it's trinkets, right? And something for the soul, like, you know, bath oil beads or something, you know?
Jewelry is my favorite comeback because I can't go wrong with jewelry. She can't complain. Bracelet, necklace, it always fits good. I don't have to worry about a ring. A ring, got to worry about sizes. But I don't know. I know what I'm going to do the day after Christmas. I'm going to take my wife down, see that movie War Horse.
Take her down the next day. Go that night. Midnight show. There's nobody there.
Midnight. I'll be sound asleep, God's sake.
It's going in the afternoon when there's about 7 people there rather than at nighttime when there's like 77 people and fucking people talking.
Yeah, I agree. But that's certainly not going to be my Christmas present. That's the day after Christmas present. But I don't know. I get her jewelry all the time and just kind of thinking maybe something different. And I got no friends with no ideas at all. I got no ideas.
You're closer to Hawaii than I am.
I've taken them 5 times to Hawaii.
All right. Well, Mexico.
We were in Mexico a couple months ago.
All right. Well, go to Alabama then.
I've been there. She's never been to Alabama.
Yeah. New Orleans is good, always.
You know, I like New Orleans. What's the French saying? Let the good times roll. Regardez les bons temps, roulez. Does that sound like what the good times rule? I probably did that real bad.
Yeah.
You been to New Orleans for a Mardi Gras?
Oh, not for Mardi Gras, but I've been there for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And that's like the second Mardi Gras.
I know. I took my panhead over the causeway, and the causeway is like a long bridge. I think it's 17 miles long. I left New Orleans behind me, heading for the mainland. And I'm halfway over the bridge. I cannot see the mainland. I look in the mirrors. I cannot see New Orleans behind me. I'm thinking of my panhead. Don't fail me now. That bridge going to nowhere, the causeway, they say, man, if you're on a motorcycle, it's a scary place. There's no shoulder.
I was coming down from Mississippi with my sweetheart 2 years ago, and I didn't know that causeway was that long. I hit fucking reserve, and I was worried. I mean, I made it, and I think it's Metairie or something like that. That's right on the tail end of that when you do the 17 miles. But I mean, I started puttering, you know, and you know, all baggage loaded down, and her on the back of the bike, and it's like, oh fuck.
And you know, you said Mississippi. Yeah, you know, one of my favorite runs I haven't made in several years is Gulfport, Mississippi. You ever made that run?
I haven't made the run, but I've been through it.
Okay, that's a really good party there. I met some really stand-up good people in that area. I met a beautiful girl who was put herself through college by catching turtles and sell them to university. I thought good for that girl there. But I encourage you to make that Gulfport, Mississippi run. It's a they get down and party pretty good over there.
Yeah, in Pensacola, Florida, too. I mean, Pensacola Beach, they got a good party there, too. We made that one.
My brother and I have been in Daytona several times, and he's been more adventuresome. He drifts down to the, to the Keys. If I stay in Daytona, it's too big a party going on, but he likes driving all the way down to the Keys. It's just hard for me to go up Daytona Beach when everybody's running around half naked to go down to look at some alligators or fish that walk across the street, you know. I don't know. He says it's beautiful down there. You want to go down and see, what the hell is that great playwright?
Tennessee Williams?
No.
Oh, Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway, thank you very much. He always goes all the way down to see that, where he stayed and all that. But, I just stay in Daytona. There's too many women in bikinis running around. But one of these days, I want to get down there. Have you been that far down to the end of the Keys?
I have not. But 2 years ago, after an AMA Congress in Ohio, I rode down to my ex-wife's house in Atlanta. And I left my bike there for the winter, and then Sue and I, we flew down there in the end of April, and the only place I had to be was Washington, D.C. for Rolling Thunder. So we took like fucking 6-week trip, and it took me like 3 days to realize I didn't have to go 400 or 500 miles a day. And
yeah.
And that's why we went up from Atlanta to Nashville, then over to Memphis, then down to, through Mississippi, then New Orleans, then the Gulf Coast and Florida. And we wanted to go to the Keys, but we got rained out 2 days, ended up in Orlando. And I said, we can make the Keys, but then we'd have to haul ass, you know.
Yeah, it's always time, always time.
Time and miles, time and miles.
I was in Atlanta last time with my brother. We stayed in a nice hotel, and I know we're going to go out to dinner. Very, very young, beautiful, attractive girl at the receptionist desk. A black girl says, you know, with that nice Atlanta accent, you know, where are you going? And I said, we're going to go out to dinner. She said, well, we have a beautiful restaurant inside the hotel. Why don't you just stay here? I said, no, I want to check out Atlanta. She goes, why don't you wait till the daytime, white boy? I said, what? Well, you guys seem like nice guys and all that. Why don't you stay here tonight? She said, Atlanta at night is just, it's a pretty rough town if you don't know what you're doing. So we stayed at the hotel. I thought the vice was very good there.
Yeah, did you go to Underground Atlanta?
Yep.
Yeah, and did you tour the Coke factory?
No.
No.
Now, what's this here? Would I miss this here?
Well, Coca-Cola is based out of Atlanta.
Sorry, no, sorry, yes, you're correct. I did not tour. We went by and saw all this stuff. No, we didn't tour. No, I'm sorry. No, no, no.
It's a good tour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very honored and thrilled that I was lucky enough to go through Georgia and Mississippi. I can remember tagging some highways and realizing I had to turn around. I'd pull off. One block off the highway, I'd be seeing houses with no electricity, no lights, no nothing. I'd make a U-turn, go back on the highway, near civilization. One block off the main thoroughfare, highway, freeway, whatever they're going to call them down there. People living in some serious, serious poverty, but nobody ever was disrespectful. Nobody ever was anything but nice to be down in that area. Of course, as some of the black people I met said, well, if you all had a Cadillac, we might steal your Cadillacs, but we don't want them damn Harley-Davidson choppers, so you guys are welcome down here.
Yeah, like Bill Gannon says, you know, terrorists don't attack biker bars.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but what's also odd is if you don't travel the country, you know, people that don't travel the country, and you know, respectfully, the millions and billions of dollars that goes out in foreign aid, and, you know, fucking Mississippi could use it. West Virginia could use it. You know, I'm sure there's parts of California that could use it. It's like, it's crazy, the fucking government.
Time I hear of another spaceship going in and out of space, I'm saying, stop it. I don't want to hear another couple billion dollars going up to look for Mars or Uranus or any other damn place. Let's put that money here into Americans that need us. Get some jobs. Get some housing for them. Get some medical aid, get some dental aid, for God's sake. I don't care if there is a life in outer space. Now, we come back to that as well, Bill. By doing the space research, we have all new products and all that. I understand all that bullshit. We need to take care of Americans first. I don't see how we can just...
The flip side of that is that private industry will go into outer space and develop those new products and put them on the market. The fucking government has no business being in that business.
I agree. That's the point I'm thinking. I don't see how we can justify that in this day and age. You know, I've been down to Tennessee. I've been to some places, very beautiful country, very poor people. I've been all over with that, and I realize that people in America, I don't want this to be a socialist country. I don't want free medical. I don't want free dental. I don't want. But I'm thinking, God's sake, you need help, you should get help. I think if you live in a state which has got bad inclement weather, Minnesota, wintertime, you've lost your house, you're a woman, you got two kids, you should be able to go down to the city hall and say, look, I'm having a problem, I got no place to go, and they should say, you're right. We're going to find a place for you to stay with somebody, something with that. I think the government owes that to the citizens with that, especially women. Pete, we got some more East Coast people out there. Pete, wow. Gene, are you out?
Hey.
Hey, yeah. I
I agree. Listen, I've been cross-country many times. There's a lot of good people out there. They'll take care of you, do what you got to do. You know, the country ain't that bad. It's just that we make it bad. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something, too. First of all, the next war is going to be a religious war, and it's already started. And if anybody could start thinking about it, that's why he's becoming more socialist, because we're getting into a religious war. And we shouldn't be going to the moon. We shouldn't be going to Mars or anything like that. That's true. There's no reason to go. If there's life on other planets, then they should come here and help us.
No kidding.
I want to tell you something, that in 1970, I spent a year in Tehran, Iran, doing some communication work with the government, and I am a Christian, Irish Catholic kid. The Muslim people that were living there, they told me, Bill, we like you, we've taken you to our home, we've invited you to our weddings, I've been to Shah's palace there, and they said, never forget this, though, you're a Christian. If my cousin, who I can't stand, goes after you, a Muslim, I will have to side with my Muslim brother. Please never forget, no matter how good a person you are, you're not Muslim, and that's something we're never ever going to get over with, guys, ever.
Call it. We got another caller from 909.
909, jump in, please.
Fuck my house.
Now I talked about the Muslims and I lost them.
806, you're live.
I'm down on Muhammad. He's only a prophet. He's not a god. And I'm really tired of the bullshit that they run. You know?
906, you're on. 906.
If they want to come after me, let them come. Yeah, you know what?
Do we have a
constitution to stick up for our own Christianity?
Yeah, what's wrong with
bullshit?
Everybody is unmuted, Bill.
Okay, you know what I want to do? I want to start a Christian...
Let Bill say something.
I want to start a Christian... terrorist camp. Yeah, why can't we have our own camps and send our little children out to these camps and teach them young Christians how to handle machine guns and all that? What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
We
have that in Massachusetts.
No kidding. Who's that, Paul?
Well, we call it from 806, Bill.
806, come on and jump in. You're live. What do you want to talk? What do you want to say?
Hey.
I like that. Hey.
Blown away by that video that I saw.
Go ahead.
I don't even know what to say.
This is Kathleen from Texas.
Merry Christmas.
Is this your first time on the show with us?
Yes, it is.
You're probably a little bit nervous. You're probably a little bit nervous?
No, not at all.
Because you've got great people from the East Coast and the West Coast, all sincerely good people just want to talk to you.
Lots of information.
We're talking about... kind of subjects. Do you want to pick a subject? You want to comment on anything, or we'll just continue on?
I want to comment on that video of that of the lady that was strip searched.
Let's hear what you got to say. Tell us how you feel.
I am blown away. I don't even believe that I saw that, or that it was even on videotape.
Yeah,
that's just the one they put out that they got a hold of. Nobody can find the other one.
Well, I hope somebody does find them, because that was very out of line.
What we're talking about, everybody, is a woman was arrested and strip searched by male cops
and
female cops, stripped completely naked. The guys were holding her down as well as taking her clothes off.
And then left her naked in the cell for 6 hours.
6 hours.
Where'd this happen?
Ohio.
Oh, figures.
Well, I think what blows me away the most is that they read the policy and that it's against policy for you to be strip searched by the opposite sex, but the sheriff says they didn't do anything wrong.
You know, my issue always is, don't you have to be arrested for doing something to resist arrest? Again, if you're going to rob the bank and we're also going to charge you resisting arrest, I can understand that. I have friends of mine, they get charged with resisting arrest. Don't you have to do something? Well, how can you get... I don't understand. How can you get charged with resisting arrest? What the hell does that mean?
Apparently it means something different than what I think it means.
They
well, you know, Bill,
the
it's like when,
fall. That's what it comes down to. They want
it's
money.
Like, it's like when they got us pulled over on the side of the road,
yeah.
Bill, and they tell us if we don't cooperate, they're going to charge us with obstruction under Penal Code 148.
Are they getting
we're not going to cooperate.
No.
And I've been on the side of the road before where they tried to get us for resisting arrest, but we weren't doing anything wrong. And we ended
usually I just stick my hands out, palm.
All you have to do is just talk to them. I mean, just talk against them, and that's resisting arrest.
Yeah. That's right.
Especially with the state police.
We had a little party at our Oceanside last week. We had 500 people here. It was a throwback to the old days. We had so many motorcycle clubs, Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside, San Diego County, down by the border, Imperial Beach. I didn't anticipate this many people showing up there, but it was really an old-fashioned party. It was really a good thing to see. The band was good, right, Phil?
The band was good. Yeah. The food was good, and the entertainment on the side was good too, Bill.
Well, and when you get some young people together, they stick their chest out, and then sometimes they run their mouth and
shit happens.
Nobody was shot. Nobody was beaten. But a lot of guys wearing rings. I got it. We had a Pier 6 brawl. But it was just the young guys making noise and wearing the big rings, cutting each other's faces up. But once the fight was over, we talked to everybody. We said, we're going to blow the party up or keep going and just let everything stay by. Everybody said, let it go. Old fashioned.
That's the way that it should be.
Nobody went to jail. And by the time the police staged two blocks down from our shop, and the police cruised by, they looked at us and they said, hey, they get it under control. And the cops left us alone. 500 people, full-blown war, and it was all controllable. That's like the old days when we used to have a little fun.
So what, I remember those days.
You know, I've got some friends that I punched in the mouth years ago and bought them a beer after. They're my friends now.
Mm-hmm.
So today I've gotten in arguments with people and we fought. And, you're okay. I can respect that in a person with that. So I don't think
settle it between you and don't get anybody else involved.
Don't bring your club into it. Don't bring all that into it. Yeah, it was kind
of
sad.
You know, even those clowns on the side of the road, Bill, I'm not going to say who they were, but to get up and do what that guy did, he's lucky he didn't get the shit beat out of him. Come on, you want some of this?
We had two mainstream clubs, and we had some Yahoo in a small club, and he thought he could try to
take on the world.
Stupid people, not understanding the ramifications of what happens when you open your mouth up. But again, nobody left the party. I took the clubs in one at a time, and we got all the blood washed off and all that. And there's a few eyeball fucking going on between the young guys again, but we had a good party. Stayed all night, you know, not all night long, but we stayed a long, long time there. Poor thing is the cops cruised, but left us alone. It really was an old-fashioned party. I miss that stuff. I think today parties are getting too sophisticated, too much boring. This was just an old-fashioned, I don't like you, you don't like me, a few blows, and then it's all over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old days, boys and girls?
Yes, and I think that's the reason why I don't go out very much anymore, is it's just not like the old days.
I think also with a lot of the charity rides and stuff to a certain point you got to classify the event as, you know, family oriented or, you know, X-rated or R-rated. You know, and I mean, I was at an event probably about 10 years ago, and there was a T-shirt contest on stage, and there's like a 7-year-old kid there watching it, and one of our people said, where's your parents, right? And he said, they're back at the campsite, you know. So we walked them back to the campsite, and the parents said, what are you doing? Like, we told them to go down there. And it's like, well, you know, can a 7-year-old kid be watching this? In my opinion, no, right? But, you know, and it was our party, you know. So I think you got to classify it. There's a lot of, certainly a lot of charity rides that are either family-oriented or they're meant to be family-oriented, where kids come in. And then there's, like, you know, the old parties. I mean, hats off to Beta, Pennsylvania. They put on the Hazen party, usually in July of each year. And it's a 3-day camp out, and it's, no kids, and it's, you know, it's a party, you know?
Yeah.
It's like us going to a weasel party, Bill.
No.
Kathleen knows what I'm talking about.
You know, I got.
I'm just
this is the Hog Riders. I don't mean to pick on
they
them.
They don't come to the Weasel
They're
Party.
They're
going to
hear this anyway. We have so many people that ride with Hog Chapters now, and we have so many women who join the Hog Chapters and all that. There's no place anymore that we can have. Well, we do weekend parties, and there are a lot of wet T-shirt, total nude contests going on, but every time I do an event anymore, it's not socially acceptable anymore for Bill to have naked women up there.
What
is wrong with that? I'm not murdering anybody. I'm not stealing from anybody. I'm not doing it, and yet, Bill, we can't have those types. Bill, why do you bring those strippers?
What you got to do is you got to have, if you're going to have a wet T-shirt contest, you got to have a hot chaps contest and let the guys get up there so the women can hoot and holler. Right? And if you're
gonna
do that type of event, you bring the hot chaps out, you know, and let the women hoot and holler, and then you bring out the wet T-shirt and the contest.
A lot of the women bike clubs are tougher than some of the dude clubs I know.
I'm going to comment. I know some of them. If I say their name, they'll be talking to me about that. Hey, years ago,
just keep in mind what my mother told me. A man of quality is not threatened by a woman of equality.
Right. Right.
You can get on a bike or on the back of a bike or the front of the bike. I mean, they're just as much there as we are. Right? And,
oh, I agree with that. Women, to me, are assets to liability. If your woman's a liability, get rid of her. If your woman's an asset, then that works out. And if you're lucky enough, be with your best friend, you're good to go. Years ago, we used to go down to Mexico an awful lot. And in Mexico, I'm not constricted by anything. I would throw I always start with the guys first. I'd bring men up on stage. Always go with a Mr. Tight Jeans contest. First strip down, blah, blah, blah. Halfway through the contest, the women would be demanding that they, you know, strip down the nakedness. The women, the volume from these women was so loud that afterwards when I brought strippers on stage, the guys couldn't make that much noise. And, of course, some women like women, too, and God bless them for that. But still, when the women were screaming because the men were stripping down, the volume was unprecedented before.
Yeah, Phil, aren't you a boy toy?
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah. Let's bring that one up.
They'd like you up at United Bikers of Maine.
Yeah, I know they would, huh? You know, I can't help it. I'm good looking and smart too, Paul.
No, United Bikers of Maine, they have a good party also. You know, and again, I mean, it's like, you know, you put it out on the flyers. I've got an Easy Rider magazine here from either 72 or 73 where one of the main stories was that the Modified Motorcycle Association of California did like its second or third annual toy ride, and the Marines refused to take the toys from the bikers. The bikers left them on City Hall Plaza.
Way back when,
all these charity rides were started to get some sort of respect or some sort of acceptance in the community. And I'll tell you, you know, it's 2011, closing out the year, right? You know, for at least over 10, 15 years, the motorcyclists have the respect in the community, right? I mean, we've got a charity. It's its 12th year. It's the Motorcycle Survivors Fund. We do events to raise money to help local families of motorcyclists killed or seriously injured in accidents. You know, and, I respectfully, I don't care about saving the whales anymore. I care about helping families of riders. You know, and if every charity that puts their hands in our pockets when we're at a state house looking for bills to pass, those charities aren't with us.
I agree there.
We do so many mainstream charities over here that March of Dimes, Diabetes, blah, blah, blah. I make them give me some type of statement I can put on a flyer like March of Dimes support motorcycle education or freedom of the road. Whatever it is I throw, I make them give us back something. Now, I'm going to tell you something else here very quickly. Even to this day's date, any mainstream charity I work on, I cannot get they won't acknowledge the strippers. Girls that work in nightclubs, they want to donate something too because, you know, they got kids or whatever. I can't do it. I can't put the name on a flyer. They don't want them to show up. So the girls have to donate money to me and then I, you know, pass it on. What type of hypocrites are we? What the hell type of hypocrites are
we? We did a,
I'm talking today, you know?
We did a thing for a bunch of Marines that came back from Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
We arranged a polka run. We arranged a big party, band, the whole... So what happened was the first band canceled out that morning. I made a call. We got another band. Boom, everything's good to go. We have the Hooters girls coming.
Everybody's been to Hooters restaurant, right?
Right.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with the way a Hooters girl's dressed.
T-shirts and orange shorts.
Everybody
put that picture? Okay.
Now, we talk to these people. They decide that they want to get the command involved. I won't say which one, but
yeah.
it was the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps, but I won't say which part of the Marine, or, you know, what company or battalion it was. Anyway, we get it all squared away. The girls show up. And this one, I'll call it like it is, a bull dyke.
Yeah.
Who said, we told you they can't be here like that.
I had two girls on stage, one on either side, and they did not want them on stage in their Hooter outfits. Continue on there, please. Go ahead.
She made a big deal out of it. The girls, now, we're selling raffle tickets for a couple of prizes, and all the money's going to go to them. When the girls are there walking around dressed in their uniform of work, people were buying tickets like crazy. They were in line to talk to them. They have to leave, go put jeans on, and come back.
We asked them to drive all the way home.
They drove all the way to their houses, got a pair of jeans, came back.
Got back up on stage with me, and we continued on.
But we sold maybe what? In that next hour and a half, 2 hours, we sold maybe $50 worth of tickets. And the money was going to those guys.
Yeah. And we're not talking 20 years ago. We're talking 2 months ago, a month ago, the mainstream organization, they didn't want to have these women on stage with me because they had shorts on.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Telling you.
Hey, you know what I always try to say? You know, I always try, you know, and it's an old-time saying, all right, but the person that puts the quarter in the jukebox calls the song, right? And if you're the planner, if you're the organizer, You know, sometimes you gotta you know, play ball with the local community, whether it's the licensing people or you know, whether you have a detail or you have two details, whether you're paying them overtime and stuff, you know. But the people that are benefiting from the event, you know, I just you know, they don't wag my dog.
For us to put events on, when I do mainstream organizations, I have to spend so much time in chair rooms, sitting there talking to all these directors and all that, because they're so concerned this is going to happen, bad press and all this. I have to sit and meet these people over and over and over, explaining them what we're trying to do. Raising money to help somebody, the damn money.
Not worth doing it if they're going to give you so much of a hassle to raise money for them.
A little girl, everybody gives me trouble. My whole life is...
I don't give
but
you trouble.
If a girl is dancing, and some of them have kids, and single mothers, and they want to help, you know, an organization, aren't we being full-on hypocrites by saying, no, but if you want to give us your money and not put your name on something, we acknowledge Hooters, we acknowledge Mickey Mouse ice cream, whatever the hell, and yet I'm not allowed to say a strip club.
Exactly.
You know, again, hypocrites
are we? It's just like that one, Bill, where we had that, it was around the corner from your shop at the other shop. And the guy specifically said, they're going to have a bikini contest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, there had to be almost 400 people there, right?
Yes.
Mixed crowd, there was one guy with his wife and kids.
Right.
Okay? They were leaving, then when they heard bikini contest, the husband turned around, she followed with the two kids.
Yeah.
The girls went up on stage. The girl that won never got paid because she showed her boobs. But when you get out there and a woman's on stage and a good-looking girl will play to the crowd.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Exactly.
I'm not going to pay her.
No, It was not our shop. It was somebody else did it, and we got involved to help out. It was wrong. But I want you to understand this, folks, because a lot of people don't understand. When I'm up on stage, and especially when I have a bikini contest going on, I'm always behind the girls. I never get to see what's going on in front. I never get to see how much boob is being shown. Everybody that's watching
the
audience.
You watch the video later.
I have to watch. Nothing else. I'm behind the girls. Not
can
that
I
game.
Be
a
water boy.
Water boy.
I want to be the water boy.
I want to be up front once. But I'm emceeing, and the guys on the girls and the girls do not want to see me. They want to see the girls. So I stand behind everybody and talk. And you know, I miss an awful lot. You people don't realize the sacrifices I have to make to do these things. You know.
I want you to start living as a gay woman, and I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Was that you?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Dr. Phil.
I want you
to start living as a gay woman. And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Oh, give me a
do you agree that you've been sexually active?
Hey, we weren't going to go that direction.
Last year I went to a big meeting. There was a club from up north, a gay club, women, they were down. They said, Bill, swing on by. So I drove down to San Diego and I went inside and, you know, I'm checking. There's like 50 women and me.
Is that where the girl challenged you to a bar fight?
No, that came a little later. But early I was checking this one blonde out. This girl was beautiful, fine, 100 pounds, blah, blah, blah. And this dyke came up to me and said, you don't have a chance, Bill. You got the wrong equipment. So I said, no, she didn't threaten me to a fight. She just threatened to beat the shit out of me. This girl had no neck. A half inch of hair, no neck, and her arms were twice my arms. Me
do you agree that you smoke pot?
Yeah.
You're going to smoke dope and have a good time.
Absolutely.
I'm talking women. He's talking dope?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you agree that you smoke?
Yes.
Do you agree that you smoke pot?
Yes.
You get stores in California.
I can't take this no more.
Dino, you're crazy, man.
Yeah.
What's it, $50 for a thing or $100 for a...
Depends. Depends on the grade and how far you want to go.
Well, anyway, so there we are, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to sound like the old days, reminiscing. But I am going to tell you again.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I have more days than I ever had. And I'm going to tell you today, I have more friends that are dead in the cemetery, people I call brothers, than friends I have outside today. They're just different. It's not better, not worse. It's just different than when it was for me back in the day, guys.
Back in 69, you don't have to tell me. I know what you're talking about. I've been around many, many years, and I tell you, the women got bigger arms than guys now. You look like what we looked like back in the 60s.
True.
You know,
well, you can picture me. I got long gray hair down my back, and I still got a gray beard, so I don't think I changed. Well, I'm losing my hair. That's obviously it. I got gray now, but no.
Hair on my nose now.
And in my ears. What the hell's it doing there? What purpose does it serve in my ears?
Ears filtering out all the... Bill.
In Italian, the girls still love me, though.
Hey, speaking of the girls still loving you, have you seen the decision that came out of the New Hampshire Superior Court on the town of ordinance, or the town ordinance on the EPA pipes?
Yeah.
Live free. There was a local town in New Hampshire that passed an ordinance that in essence said you know you got to have the EPA imprint on your exhaust systems.
And I saw that.
And it was Seacoast Harley Davidson that filed suit against the town. And,
live free or die. Where are they coming from?
No kidding.
And last week, the New Hampshire Superior Court issued a ruling saying that local ordinance wasn't valid, all right, and that the local towns could not supersede the state law. And by doing so, would create a checkerboard gotten throughout the state that riders could be legal on a state level, but not legal on a local town level. And it's to me, it's a major decision. It's a major victory. And I think Seacoast Harley should be kind of applauded for, you know, filing the suit and funding the legal cost. It's something that used probably in every state except California.
Yeah, and the thing that some of that stuff that I read, Paul, the next one after that that came out today, that was the 21st. Today's let's see, hang on, I lost it.
Yeah, today, the backpedaling of the story is the people that lost, right, are saying, well, now we're going to focus our efforts in the legislature, the New Hampshire legislature. Right, on a bill that lowers the decibel limits. In New Hampshire, the decibel limit is 106 decibels. In Massachusetts, it's 99 decibels unless your bike was manufactured before 1982, then it's 102. And, you know, again, sound equipment's got to be used, not just a police officer's ears.
That's ridiculous, man.
What's ridiculous?
You know, Gino just said it, live free or die, New Hampshire. Whatever the hell ever happened to that saying in New Hampshire, live free or die, now they're measuring pipes and shit?
Well, wait.
Cops got nothing better to do.
Roll that back a second.
I had eight pingers going through.
It's a very favorable decision. This is a very favorable decision for the citizens of the live free and die state.
I just think you're moving from New Hampshire then.
It said that a town didn't have the authority, right, to supersede state law. State law says 106 decibels, not 82. And that's what this town put in effect.
Jeez, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah, it was bullshit, and that's what the court said. It's bullshit. So they won.
Yeah.
So it's still the live free or die state.
Right on, bro. Right on, bro.
And I'm 3 miles from it, you know, in Massachusetts.
Hey, Paul, you still living in Amesbury?
Yes.
Yeah, my aunt lives right next to you.
Cool.
My aunt, she lives right next to you, next to the condos there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on Clark's Road.
In Clark's Road, yeah.
Yep.
Hold on, guys. Hey, we got a caller from 385.
385, join us. Talk to us. 385. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You're on live.
Where the hell's 385?
385.
Somebody just said hello.
Sounds like a federal government.
Hold on. Is that you, Evil E?
Hey, how's it, bro?
Oh, it's Evil E. Holy shit.
Shit, it's Evil.
How you going, mate?
Hey, how you doing?
How you going,
you
mate?
You give a shit about us. You don't check on us or nothing. You just vanish. What the hell you call us?
What
the hell
happened with you, bro?
It's like 3 a.m. in the morning here. Sorry about that. I've had to drink a lot of coffee to stay up tonight. Huh? It's 3 a.m. in the morning, so I've
been
at
where are you now,
though,
in England?
Yeah.
He's in London.
I know, yeah, but he went to Jamaica for a while.
You know, he makes a lot of trips.
Right. I wish I was still there now.
You know, makes a lot of... I wonder what that's all about.
So you fill us in on what's going on with you now. We haven't heard. Bill's right, we haven't heard from you in a long time. I heard from you because you just called me a week ago, but... What's going on? Anything new?
Same old bullshit.
Yeah.
I wish something exciting would happen. I wish the people would wake up around here.
They're not going to wake up.
You know?
Too late. Too late. We just keep giving up our rights. Let's talk about the Patriot Act. We keep giving up, and we accept it. And,
well, you know, today,
every
Bill,
day it's
you know, today,
loose.
Bill, this,
everyone,
this is...
Oh,
this is from today, Bill.
Yeah.
In the United States today, the First Amendment is under attack like never before, Bill.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Technological innovations such as the Internet have made it possible for average Americans like us right here and right now to communicate directly with one another in ways that completely bypass the mainstream media, and this is making the elite very uncomfortable. Right now, free speech in America is being chipped away at in thousands of different ways. On the one hand, you have this... of political correctness that want to make all forms of speech that are offensive to anyone against the law. And to that I say, go fuck yourself. On the other hand, you have those that are obsessed with security. They want to ban all speech that is critical of the U.S. government or the U.S. military? And your comment is for that one?
You know, I want to just, this is one before they say, I did a show on AM radio.
Charter again, isn't it?
AM radio, I made a comment about a situation. I said, oh, that's bullshit. Oh, my God, AM radio had a cow. I said bullshit on AM radio. I said the situation is bullshit. It's got to be dealt with. AM radio, that blew up at me. You
yeah,
can't speak.
The fucking AM radio is anal, bro. They kicked me off a few times. They kicked me off a few. Dan
Bill,
Ray, you know Dan Ray,
you.
Dan Ray.
Speaking.
Yeah, he beat me off a few times.
Well, you know, according to this thing that came out today, too, it says it's, the link is in the chat room, but it says if you say the wrong thing in America today, your website might be shut down. You could be suspended from school. You may find yourself out of a job, and there's even a possibility, since that other bill came out, Bill, that you could be arrested and shipped off to Guantanamo Bay without a trial.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, isn't that China that you're talking about, Bill, or North Korea or Cuba? Or a communist Soviet Union. You say anything against the government, you're locked up. You're
yeah.
sent away into one of these work camps like Stalin did, and Mao Zedong did, and Pol Pot did.
I'm not
anybody
a communist,
on the new
everybody knows.
Of
I'm
North?
Not a communist.
Anybody want to
huh?
comment on the new leader of North Korea?
Oh, my God. That's a, we could go into that yeah, for a few hours.
Carry
what really happened anyway?
I've seen, you know, I'll make one quick comment. I saw the grandfather, and, you know, I've seen pictures of the father. I didn't think it was possible. The son is even uglier than both the two other guys, for God's sake.
No, so what's the real deal there, Bill, with that whole thing? What do you think?
Well, they're just saber-rattling right now, scaring South Korea. They're not going to attack South
no,
Korea.
No, but it's death. It's death. How do you think
it's hold on
think
a second.
It's
yeah.
Kathleen, Matt, you're unmuted. So anytime you want to chime in.
Did he have a heart attack or was he assassinated, do you think?
No. He had the heart attack. What they're doing is staging it. They believe he died now in the safety of the palace and all that. They're trying to say that he died on a train going out there seeing the people and all that. No, it was his time. He
so you don't think somebody dropped some poison in his tea?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. Because his son...
The one out
there, I don't think so, no. I don't think so. Because his son... yeah. It's going to go on
yeah.
by, you know, family members.
It's going to go on by, you know, family members.
Yeah.
You know, Bill, for all this.
We should say something nice to
we
Korea.
We should say something nice to Korea. Don't.
Here we go. Somebody's got the... Evil Lee, that might be you with the sound on in the back.
Somebody's
up. Well, I, you know, since you
nope.
said bullshit,
I'm
and we
back.
Use bullshit on the radio, and we say what we say here, I came up with this, and I just want you guys to listen to this, then we'll comment after.
All right.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word, out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word Frischen, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as, John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in the sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw, fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry. Who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction. I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. He's a fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
Maybe we should say that to the North Korea. Let your people go.
North Korea needs to be dealt with.
That was good.
You know, I want to tell you that many, many years ago, I was also another part of my life. I was working in the European Alps with about five different countries. And what's the one word that all these countries knew when something went wrong? You guys guessed it. We had the Polish. We had all. They all knew one word when something went wrong, and they'd all yell it. I couldn't believe it.
I wish I could have had that recorded.
Actually, I can get it for you.
Yeah. What the hell? Oh. My phone started vibrating. I thought it was Zion again.
It's
giving us visions.
I'll put it up in the chat room, and then that link I sent you, if you go in there, my email's there. And send me an email and I'll send it to you.
Okay. I lost everybody here. Can you tell me what state or what towns everybody's from in here? I kind of lost everybody. I know my East Coast cousins. I mean,
okay, we've got Pete, Gino, and Paul from Boston.
They're the thugs. Yeah, we know that.
We got Evil Eve from London. Talking to Kathleen out of Texas.
Hey, us. All right.
And we've got a caller from New York.
Yeah, that's Paul. No, who's that one?
I didn't catch his name in the beginning, but it was kind of hard to hear him because he was driving. He was listening and driving.
Okay. Let me ask Texas a question. Can you tell me what city you're from in Texas? Texas? We lose Texas?
Her phone was vibrating. Give her a minute. I didn't mean it like that.
Too long till we get on that one. I knew
that. I didn't mean it like that, bro.
Having a moment.
So
it just came out that way.
Well, you know, the other thing we were talking about earlier, maybe you guys didn't hear.
I'm expecting it from Philip.
Go ahead.
No, I'd expect you to come out with that one, Philip, before anyone else did.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of like doing three things at once here, but. You know, you guys, everybody talks about America and the American dream. And Bill and I played something earlier, and I think it's worth playing again, Bill.
Why not? Get everybody up to par on it like that. And then we'll talk about Mexico right after, so go ahead.
But there's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago
They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners in this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But the...
You know, we've lost everything. It goes back to that. We don't have our rights. Screwdriver and I go down to Mexico an awful lot, though. Not so much now because the cartel's killing everybody. But just before that, we would have a party, and we'd rent out one complete hotel. And I would talk to everybody coming in. They're all in all the rooms are our name, so you go with us or you don't. If you want your old lady up on, if your old lady wants to go up on stage, that's all right. If your old lady wants to be close to the stage so she can see it, that's okay. If your old lady's a little bit conservative, she wants to step in the back a little bit and watch the show that we're going to have on stage, that's okay. If your old lady is going to sit and bitch and whine and complain, I have a hotel right across the street. Now, what we do is we go down and we hire off-duty police. I don't want people coming in. I want people in the conservative hotel to be conservative. I want people in the smut hotel. What's wrong with people having fun? We shoot fireworks off at each other. We have naked stuff going on.
It's so crazy that where this hotel is, there's one building that's 8 stories high, and they have a discotheque bar up on top. And they turn off the music, and everybody stands at the handrail or in the windows to look down and see what we're doing. And then they're mad because they can't get in because the guys we hired won't let them in.
We have a little fun. And if I tried to do any of this stuff in America at all, I'd be arrested. I'd be thrown in jail.
You'd be arrested.
Great people say you can't do that. Why can't we just have fun, us deviants? Isn't there a place for us deviants left? And for us, it's sad it's in Mexico. I have to leave my country and go down to Mexico and just have an old-fashioned, let's just get drunk and get crazy, and the next weekend or the weekend's over, we all go back to our straight jobs and all that.
Well, you know, it's,
why can't I find that in America?
It's the same thing.
Man,
it's
I never
same...
knew you got down like that, Bill. Wow.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. Like, we got another guy that I've had him on the show. I played his rant. And, I just got an instant message to play this one, but you guys will enjoy this. This guy's name is Thelonious Monk, and he's talking to Obama.
Every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $19.6 trillion dollars before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ask it to... Ooh! Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got it. It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. But you see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't. Oh! Fuck out of here.
You know, the point that he makes that's so irritating to me is the thing about China. Man, why is China... Why are we selling all of America to China? I don't understand that. Small case in point, too, I want to say is like when you and I crossed the border into Mexico.
Right.
First of all, I love America. I love America. I love America. I just have to go somewhere else to get my freak on.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I crossed into Mexico with a bunch of our crew. The Mexican police waved us. Hola, I'm down in Mexico for a long weekend. I come back to the border now. I'm an American. I'm crossing the border. The American Border Patrol agents talking to me. Where have you been? How long have you been down there? Blah, blah. What? I go into Mexico and they just say, hey, hello. They wave at me. Coming back to my own country, you and I treated the fifth degree, tenth degree, God knows on and on. What are you bringing back? Where have you been? I don't understand how I will always come back to America. I wish I could party in America, but I'll be in jail if I do that. I love America. I keep saying that over and over and over. What I don't like is the fact that every day it seems like the noose is getting tight around my neck. Where can I go? What can I do? In Mexico, they got straight drag pipes. They got handlebars over their heads. No one cares. Anything I do in America, I'm subject to being stopped. I'm subject to getting tickets. And that's how they get us. They give you so many damn tickets on your license, they take your license away. Now you're a biker, not able to ride your own bike. What the hell
biggest,
good is that?
Well, because that's the biggest Ponzi scheme, Bill.
Yeah. They can control us by giving us tickets and eventually having our license taken away.
Right.
That'll treat that biker. We'll get him off the road.
Paul, I put that up in a chat for you.
Now, I know everybody out there is different states and evil, different country, and I know we all face oppression. And I know that evil is just as proud of London as I am of San Diego. It's just that every day I wake up, again, they're taking more and more rights away from me. The way my bike looks, the way my bike sounds. God forbid I'm speeding a little bit on the road. Ooh. We're going to make a case out of it. I don't want America to go back to what it was in 1969, 1973. But I know many of you are not, you weren't born during that time period.
No.
You weren't around to party at that time period, excuse me. But I want you to understand that there was a time in America when all you had to have was like a couple bucks into your pocket for gas, fire up your panhead when it finally kicked over. You could travel where you want and everything was, hey man, good to see you. Welcome to our neighborhood. Let's sit down and party. Strangers. Even the motorcycle community is getting paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's checking everybody. Who are you with? Who are you associated with? What's your patch? What are you selling? Man, what, can't we just ride our motorcycles, go where we want to go?
Hello?
I'm still here.
Is everybody?
No, something went wrong. They might have taken us off the air, Bill.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Recall when motorcycle riding was so much more free before we had all these. Well, you know what? I blame the damn computer. Right in front of me, this damn computer. There was a time when I could get so many tickets in California. You know what I did? I drove to Arizona. I got another license. Can't do that anymore. Oh, no, no. It's all one giant computer. They're tracking me above everything. Is anybody out there old enough to remember what the parties were like 20 years ago?
Yes.
Is anybody out there remember what the parties were like last week?
Yes.
How were the parties in Texas, Kathleen? Hello?
Maybe her phone's vibrating again.
Yeah.
She's preoccupied, perhaps. Perhaps the phone is more stimulating than our conversation.
I don't know.
Where's Pete and Gina? Can you guys remember when we could ride our motorcycle and it was a whole different world? Can you remember that far back, guys? We must have lost them. They'd be talking about something.
Let me ask you something. I mean, in California, do you feel that? Because when I ride in Massachusetts, I got to tell you, nobody bothers me. I haven't gotten a ticket. It's not helmet choice. I do have a half helmet. I got a Harley with loud pipes, and I got a Yamaha V-Star with not so loud pipes. The Yamaha is a little more comfortable for especially the long trips. The Harley is Sportster, 92 Sportster is good for putting around town, but not for long trips. But nobody bothers me, but I do get calls from people that have been stopped and cited, and it's like, and it's like buying insurance after an accident. They want to get involved now that it's happened to them, right? But prior to that, they don't want to get involved, or they're too busy, or, and everybody's busy with something. I mean, everybody's life. You got stuff going on in your life, and a lot of the freedom fighters, members of SMROs or national organizations like Bolt, and Bikers of Lesser Tolerance, the AMA, the MRF, NCOM. I mean, the people are at the state houses and the local city governments fighting and stuff, and but a lot of people don't get involved. It personally affects them. And
right.
Even people that are listening tonight, because somebody pissed them off at some point and did trample on their rights. But
I'll tell you why we are getting so much.
Vigilant, all right? That when this stuff happens, you got to stand up instead of lay down on your knees.
Well, the problem that Screwdriver and I are having in California, and it's certainly not paranoia, it's the fact that we have so much drama going on right now with the major motorcycle clubs. This trickles down. The average police officer, when they pull you over, they don't know if you're an axe murderer or not, or a straight citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we have an increase in the big clubs drama, it trickles down to all
also,
the street riders, everybody.
Also, the fact that one gentleman who's new to the force here decided that I intimidated him.
That was absolutely. I never saw fear before like that.
That was a motor cop, Paul. He was intimidated by me. Told everybody he was intimidated by me.
When we have the violence, and smarten up, the fact that he's intimidated. These police officers and we live in a society that we do need police officers, right? And the training that they get and how to approach people and how to protect themselves and you're right. They don't know when they're pulling over a car or a bike or a truck or the person's an axe murderer or a just a law-abiding citizen, right? But they get the training in that, right? If they need backup, they should call it. And they got to assess the situation right then and there. And at the stop, you know, law enforcement has all the authority. You'll win in court if they trample on your rights, right? And it's a pain in the ass to have to go to court and or to hire an attorney and go through the expense and miss a day of work and stuff, you know, but you've been stopped enough, Phil, you know, I know that, you know, that if a cop's intimidated, call for the supervisor then, because the supervisor will usually diffuse the situation right then and there.
Well, when they show up, Paul, they just talk to the guy for a couple of minutes, then they walk over, hand me all my shit, and tell me to have a nice evening because it's more trouble than it's worth.
Absolutely, because you have, you know, and it's almost like I really believe in my car, you know, my license plate and my check twice, save a life bumper sticker on the back, and my and a couple other window stickers that I've got, respectfully, I think that they know that this is not like a regular stop, you know, that this is going to go to court. And I think that they're looking for more, like, the people that will lay down, roll over, and beg, you know, please don't give me a ticket, you know, and as compared to people standing up. And you got to stand up. You know, everybody, I believe, I hope, right, knows when law enforcement crosses the line. And again, it's not all of them.
They're not adversarial to the police department. When an officer, a single unit, male or female, steps over the line as citizens, Screwdriver and I drive down to local police stations on our motorcycles. We set meetings up between him or her and a supervisor. We do not think that this is wrong at all. We think that to ignore this situation is wrong. I'm not attacking police. I think they do an outstanding job. It's a tough job and all that. All we're saying is when anybody, if the guy from the post office steps out of line, the gas electric company steps out of line, the dog catcher steps out of line, we shouldn't be afraid of these people. We should confront them. Dialogue is communication to and from, like we have right now. But we've given the police department powers. We've given them fear. For what? They're just the same as, again, the dog pet catcher and the guy fixed the telephone. They're public servants. You do not need to be afraid of those people. We are Americans.
That's right. That's right. And I think when you do confront them, you tend to get what you want out of the deal because they're not used to people confronting them.
Wait a second. Did your phone stop vibrating?
No, I lost the signal again, and I had to call back.
Okay, we were concerned about you.
we have a tower down here because of the wind, and so I drop calls all the time.
Yeah. No, but you're absolutely correct. I mean, you know, it's just like if you go into a restaurant, you get terrible service or the food is terrible. I mean, you don't necessarily penalize the waitress, but if the service is lousy, you penalize the waitress or the waiter.
I was in a restaurant the other day and I ordered what I usually order, and then the owner walked in with his wife and told him, I said, hey, I know when you're not cooking. And he, like, it blew his mind. He goes, really? And I go, yeah. So he went in to pack, and I don't know what happened, but the guy who was cooking, he decided to quit that day.
but as Bill said, that it's they're public servants, and in all due respect, all they want to do is go home to their families at night too, right? And you know, if a situation comes up, and I gotta believe that you know when they cross the line. You know, I mean, we have a seatbelt law in Massachusetts, but it's a secondary offense. So some police officers pull you over if you're not wearing your seatbelt. They start commenting on that, and it's like, wait a second, why'd you pull me over to begin with? And it's like,
yeah.
After they check your license and registration, it's like, have a good day, put your seatbelt on. It's like, no, I'm not going to put my seatbelt on.
Well, right. You know, here's one for you. Here's one for you. I was in an accident, and it involved my bike, and I wasn't riding it. Somebody else was.
Mechanic.
But when the cops showed up, my dyno had flipped over and it dented the gas tank, and I just filled it up with gas before this guy took it for a ride. So it was leaking gas, and one of my saddlebags had come off and landed in the street. So I went and I picked it up and I put it behind the bike after I asked the fireman, could I do that? Next thing the fireman says is, hey, how do you turn that thing off? So I reached under, actually Kyle reached under and turned it off. Kyle's Bill's nephew. And the fat cop comes over and he says, hey, do you think I get 2-3 guys will pick that bike up? I walked over and I picked it up. The motor cop who's going to do the accident investigation shows up and wants to know why I'm tampering with a crime scene?
Crime scene.
I said, geez, I thought we were here for an accident.
So, now, is there anything on your motorcycle that might make those people a little uncomfortable?
Well,
do you want to share that little perhaps?
Well, yeah, there's a ball peen hammer on top of the saddlebag.
Big one.
I went from the 1-pounder to a 3-pounder, Bill, because it's not against the law to carry a hammer.
It is a strong visual.
That's okay.
All right. What else might be on your vehicle that might make the policeman uncomfortable?
Share it. There's support stickers, Bill.
All right. Cop, don't know nothing from nothing. You got a three-pound hammer, support stickers. And you wonder why the guy's afraid of you?
Well, hey, in the back of my helmet it says free all axe murderers, but that's just my opinion.
Sensitive prick, right?
The front says, yeah, warning, and sensitive prick.
Oh, so we got all that on the motorcycle and the helmet and the 3-pound hammer, and you're wondering why some of the policemen think you are a danger. Let me think. Why would they think like that? Does anybody have any idea why? Because you have one chance to make a first impression, right?
And I want to make a good one.
Yeah.
I'll assume it's not the motorcycle.
No.
Here's a situation for you. I was in the state of North Dakota, and I was on my way to a job that happened to be at the sheriff's department. And my car died, and I pushed my car into the parking lot of the jail, and a cop followed me in there, local police officer, and he proceeded to keep me in that parking lot for 2 hours, where he wanted to write me up for everything he could find on my car, when he really just wanted to know where my husband was.
Wow.
And
he liked your husband and not you?
because of who he was. And I told him, well, he's in prison last time I checked in New Hampshire. And he said, well, I don't have him as being incarcerated at the time. And I said, well, he was there when I was there last week. And he tried to write me a ticket for the tint on my windows, having a Texas driver's license, having Texas registration, having Texas car insurance, which I might add is higher than North Dakota insurance as far as liability goes and the amount.
Right.
2 hours he kept me in that parking lot outside of my job that day, and a detective that knew me, came outside and told him, hey, she's working here, she's all right. He said, do you know who you have working here? And he said, yes, she's been coming here for 2 years. It was one of my accounts. And he said, did you know that she's married to a Hells Angel? And they said, yes, but there aren't any Hells Angels in this state. She just passes through and works. We don't have any problems with her. I had to take the tickets, and I had to go to his supervisor, and I had to tell him, look, I have insurance. I have an address in Texas. I have every right to have my car driving through this state. I have every right to have a Texas driver's license. I have every right to have this tint on my windows because it's a Texas car.
Well, if you're an American citizen, you have the right to be on any road in the United States.
That's what I said.
As long as you're traveling through. However,
well,
that doesn't always work on bicycles, though, because sometimes they can write me up in a state, even though I'm from California. For example, California, you have to have one left-hand mirror. Most people have two mirrors, but you only have to have one.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, you have to have two mirrors. I've been written up for stupid stuff as an American traveling in my own country, but because I'm in a different state, my motorcycle doesn't adhere to their policies. Luckily, I can make the argument as traveling through the state, I show some leniency. I'm able to get out of it most of the time. But the trips to Sturgis, sometimes they pull me over because that doesn't fit our criteria. American, in America, what do you mean it doesn't fit your criteria?
Well, you know, Bill, it's just like that day, the first time those guys actually became aware of who I was, and the two yahoos, the two rookies, got schooled on about my hammer.
I go back to
the guy told me, they pulled me over. Well, first of all, I'm on the street. I pull into a parking lot that's completely pitch black because he told me to turn in here. I kept going. I went to the next parking lot, completely pitch black. I kept going. I got to the gas station. They pull in. Now, they get out of the car. They pull their guns. Why? I don't know. They had to pull guns. I don't know. Maybe it's because I put my hands up, I guess. Anyway, the one little guy, it was a Mutt and Jeff team. One big tall guy, one little guy. Actually smaller than me, Bill. And he's trying to rip the hammer off the top of the saddlebag. I told him, hey, you're wasting your time. It's inside the top of the bag.
For California specific.
For California.
Right? Yeah.
According to the CHP, as long as it's inside the top of the bag, I can
then
carry it that way.
Ornament purposes, not decorative
exactly.
Purposes. Yes, correct.
So he says, no, it's a felony to have this. And he said, you should put it in the saddlebag now. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that because then you'll tell me it's a concealed weapon.
If it's inside the saddlebag out of sight, it is a concealed weapon.
That's correct. Now, he proceeded to tell me that it's still a felony to carry it any way I'm going to carry it. And I said, unless you guys are going to change my name to Master Mechanic, go fuck yourselves because it's going to stay right where it is. It.
Any wonders why you guys keep getting pulled over, boys and girls?
Well, let me ask you something because and I'm not a lawyer, all right? I do work in a law office, all right? But, you know, a stop on the road, if you're there for more than 20 minutes, you're either under arrest or you're free to go, at least in Massachusetts. All right?
Well, yeah, I pull that one on them all the time. I pull that one on them all the time.
Either arrest me or I'm leaving, right? You can
well, that's when
my,
they, no, that's like
my
I said earlier, that's when they tell me, well.
Registration. I don't care, you know, either, you know, arrest me. And when you arrest me, now I have some, you know, some rights, right? While I'm on the stop, I'm just a victim, you know?
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, either arrest me or I'm going, right? And I don't care whether you got my license or you got my registration, right? I'll pick it up the next day.
Yeah. That's when they tell me, well, we're going to charge you under Penal Code 148 for obstruction. And performance of my duties.
Well, California's a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
California's a little weird, all right?
I tell them yes or I tell them no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, how do you do, officer? Nice to see you. I don't say, what the fuck's your problem? No. I answer yes, I answer no. I don't pull my ID out. I don't pull my registration out. I do shut my vehicle off. Say, no, I'm not going to take off. One word answers. And when he gets frustrated, he say, if I'm not getting a ticket, am I free to go? The only sentence I make, they fire up and leave. You don't have conversation with them. You don't shoot yourself in the foot by giving away information.
Yeah, don't make
Ben, well, I've been down at the bar. Well, that's
no,
great.
Where are you
know?
Going?
Yeah,
where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B.
Well, no, don't
even have
yes
to answer
no.
that. You don't even have to answer that. You know, In Massachusetts, and I'm only speaking for Massachusetts, right? You have to show them, you know, positive proof of identification, and that is usually your driver's license.
Upon request.
Yeah. Well,
but you don't pull it out beforehand.
No, and I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I did to these two guys I never saw before, and they're new guys. They pulled me over, and the guy says, "Give me your driver's license." I said, "Give me $15."
What the hell would you do that for?
That's what I paid to get my driver's license when I renewed it.
Jesus.
Yeah, this is the problem we have here. I don't show anything. Just initiate. First of all, let me. I want you to picture this, okay? He has very, 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 very long, dark hair. No beard.
I thought he dyed his hair blonde. Wait a minute. He dyed his hair blonde.
My hair is long gray, and I have a gray beard. They're not going to mess with me. You don't have to. Well, I got you on that one
because yeah. You were doing 37 miles an hour, and the guy
38 when they got me. Okay. 30,
and the guy pulled you over for speeding.
Mm-hmm.
38.
I was over the speed limit.
38 and a 35, and he told you were speeding, but he wasn't going to give you a ticket this time.
Yep.
So basically, all he did at that point was he was conducting the intel. They usually do the stupid fuckers.
Well, I had switched helmets. After getting three warnings, I went to a full face because they said, we're not going to give you another warning. And when they pulled me over and I took the helmet off, my long gray hair came out. They said, oh, then they recognized who I was. Then they backed off. If I was a regular average guy, they'd hassle me for three lousy miles.
It's just how stupid they are. They have you down. You're down as the president. I'm down as the vice president. And all the guys in town are our underlings for one of the heavy hitter clubs. It's stupid. It's like they'll pull me over. I have different helmets, and sometimes I'll wear my full face with the dark shield, and it's open about an inch. So they'll pull me over and they'll say, "Take off your helmet. I want to see your face." So I lift up the front. They can see my face, and the guy says, "Hey, I told you to take off the helmet."
I said, "No, I don't.
I'm not going to take off the helmet because then you're going to tell me it's a weapon."
And plus, they have a right to examine your helmet.
Right.
And they don't have that right to you surrender it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why he wanted me to take it off. So when I lifted it up, and I lifted it up, he goes, "What, are you being a smartass? I told you to take off the helmet." I said, "No, you said you wanted to see my face."
Hey, in California, is the helmet personal equipment, or is it equipment with the motorcycle?
Oh, it's personal.
It's personal equipment.
All right. So
it's 100.
Like if they say, so just like if they say, "Phil, you know, take off your watch and show me it."
Again, I'm going to say the one I happen to wear cost me $89.95. I'll give it to you.
You bought that stuff at Walmart, you cheap.
No,
you
I didn't.
Paid $89.
You got that at the exchange.
No, it's the correct thing, though. The fact is that watch or helmet, it's all semantics and all that, but it is not a equipment issue. It's not a safety issue. It's personal equipment, as you said. You don't have to show that. But the cops don't know that always.
No.
And remember, if they ask you, and you do it, blame yourself. If they stick a gun in your head and tell you to do it, take the damn helmet off, because we've lost conversation now. But if they ask you, you don't have to do it.
No, you don't.
So many of our friends shoot themselves in the foot by being over generous and trying to be buddy. Cops don't want a buddy. They want you to do the job and go home.
Hey, well, you know, like you're telling people, Bill, I sometimes bring it on myself.
Yes, you do.
Okay. But
everybody agree? Yes.
What I'm saying is it's my choice.
No, but Phil also educates police officers out there too. All right, because they're like he said, you know, a young police officer, he didn't know, you know. And until people stand up to people,
Go ahead. What the hell's going on now?
I don't know.
Hang on, boys and girls.
We're getting jacked from the outside, though.
All right. How Phil chooses to do a police stop, that's his prerogative. I never disagree with him how he does it. I choose to do things differently. The point is, he is an American citizen driving on an American road. He should not fear anybody. Why we give these policemen such power, they don't have it. Have what we give to them, guys.
I agree.
Did your phone vibrate again?
No, I had to put my kid to bed.
Excuse us, we're having a moment.
I'm always having a moment. Well,
so,
it's been fun. I have to go because I have physical therapy in the morning, and I have to get up at 5:30.
Hey,
what'd you make the kids for dinner tonight? For dinner? Texas?
What did I have?
What'd you make, Kathleen? What'd you make him for dinner? I haven't had no dinner. I'm kind of hungry. What did you make him?
Make it all. Yeah.
No, I'm just curious. What you made the kids for dinner? That's all.
Oh, chicken and rice and corn and cornbread.
Man, I'm really hungry now. Wow.
I had two grilled cheeses and tomatoes at the local strip joint.
Grilled cheese with tomato?
Grilled cheese and tomato, yeah. They're great. And I'm sure the kids would love them too.
You think?
Absolutely. It's kind of like the hot and the cold, you know.
We got a caller from 951.
Hey, yeah, Bob Marshall here. I called in a few days ago with the Bay Local 27.
How you doing, Bob?
Oh, really good. Well, it's buck cold out here in my garage, actually. I was just chopping up a motorcycle and listening to you guys. So,
is that Northern California?
Oh, no, Southern California, Riverside.
Oh, okay.
But he's north of us, north and inland.
I didn't hear what Bob said. He has a chop shop. He's doing what to motorcycles? What the hell did he just say?
No, I don't have a chop shop, although it kind of looks like it right about now. No, I'm chopping up a motorcycle in my garage, and it's butt cold out here. I'm going to invest in a heater someday.
It's cold in Southern California.
I was just going to say, it's 10 degrees here. What is cold there?
Yeah.
You know, actually, no, Paul. It was cold in the morning, but then it warmed up to 67 and sunny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was too bad. It was pretty lucid.
I got to tell you, I have my chaps tied to the bike. I've not had to put them on yet this winter, but today was close.
You don't come out till the sun's up, and then you go home before the sun goes down.
Well, you know, I roll out of bed. I get to work around 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know. And see, I need the sun to come up and the heat to come on. It's a two-part program.
Oh, okay.
The sun coming up is not enough. Sun comes up, heat comes on. But today, it was borderline. I was too lazy to put them on, but it's getting up there. Today's the first day of winter, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I wonder,
it was real windy here, so real windy and cold.
It was real windy here too. Windy and 10 degrees.
Ooh.
Wow, 50. It was about 55 in Massachusetts.
Jeez.
Which is
that's nice
in
Mass. Yeah.
I wanted to make a comment. You guys were talking earlier. Well, you were talking about how much you've been pulled over, and I've only been riding again full-time for 7 or 8 years, and I've only been pulled over for cops. They wanted to check out my motorcycle or something funny like that. But I wanted to talk also about earlier, you were saying that there's just a ton of attention that people seem to get on motorcycles. Everywhere you go, everybody seems really nice, and I like to do a lot of cross-state travel myself, and I think that's really true. Everywhere you go, everyone wants to talk to me, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if I just look like a nice, approachable guy, but I'm sure you guys...
Are you traveling with just your friends or by yourself?
Well, too? I'll tell you what. If you don't have a warning insensitive prick sticker on the front of your helmet or a free all axe murders on the back of your helmet, you're doing okay.
Goes back to you have one chance to make a first impression. But when you travel, do you travel by yourself or with friends?
Well, sometimes I'm by myself. Probably half the time I'm with my dad, though. He's 61. He's not too intimidating, I guess. But
approachable, you're vulnerable. People want to walk up. 10 people coming in motorcycles, it's too many people. They don't feel they're threatened by it. One or two motorcycles, everybody wants to talk to you. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I think I always take the notion and take the time. I know a lot of times I'm trying to travel 600 or 700 miles in a day, and you always got to take the extra 10 minutes and expect someone's going to talk to you. And it seems to be children who like to talk to me first. And they've asked me if I'm a pirate or if I'm a cowboy or what. You know, they just don't understand why someone's wearing 40 pounds of leather. So I think that's always fun. I always enjoy trying to do my best for the community and being as nice as I can. And really, I'm looking at my watch thinking, you know, it'd be nice to get going right about now. But I think as a community, I think it's important. We get to stop and talk to people. People want to talk to us. It's okay to stop and talk.
I've met people all across this country, and just because of what you just said, stop and talk to them. I met millionaires. I met Indian chiefs. I met everybody.
They're Americans. They're intrigued in what you're doing. I met cops yep. said, you're really going to Sturgis? I've always wanted to go there. There's people out there. Again, you have one chance to make a first impression. Make the most of it.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of that. Or I think a lot of people have gone to Sturgis that come up to me and they go, oh, you're going to Sturgis, I think. I go, yeah, I'm heading up there. And why are you all the way from California? That's the other one I get. But well, it's a great ride, so you might as well.
You got to do it once or else you'll never hear the end of it. Every bike, every bar, you go the rest of your life. If you've been to Sturgis, you've been to Sturgis, you've been to Sturgis. For God's sakes, I tell everybody, just go one time and get it off your back. For the rest of your life, people will keep bugging you about it.
Yeah, well said. Earlier I was on my computer and someone, one of you guys asked if you could still hear us. I got to tell you, there's a bit of static in the line, even off the phone here, so.
Hey, that's because we have some people that have nothing better to do. They listen to us because they think we're sending subliminal messages to all the clubs.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were telling me that last week.
Hey, Phil, I got the message.
You got the message. Hey, we're giving all subliminal messages to Kathleen out there. You know, that's you know.
That's funny.
Hey, that's
anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me call in. Always good to talk to you. Like I said, I really enjoy the show. So keep up the good work.
I agree with you. You know, like when I'm out on the road, and I'm packed up and I'm geared up, and you know, I mean, people just like to talk to you. I mean, it's, you know, whether they had a bike in the past and for whatever reason they're not riding anymore. I mean, and Bill touched on it too. I mean, you can go throughout the country. You get off the back roads or the high. You get off the highways onto the back roads. You stop in places. I mean, people are cool. Most people are cool. You know, maybe in downtown Atlanta at night, not cool. I've only had wonderful experiences in the miles that I've ridden, and it's different riding on a bike than driving in a car, you know, and stopping someplace. I mean, people just, they're drawn to you, you know. I mean, I really think it's the individuality, it's the spirit of that they recognize that we have, and either they once had. And rekindling, you know, they have it too.
Wish they had it.
I've always had good experiences. Yeah, I've always had good experiences. Never had a negative experience that I stand out in my mind. Except like in our own world, and sometimes we're our own worst enemies. You know, as you said earlier, sometimes the interfight, you know. With the clubs or disagreements on issues and stuff and how to get things done, it's the but what you ride, where you ride, and who you ride with separates us sometimes. But on the issues that are common to motorcyclists, we got to get together, work together, and achieve together. And I think we're doing that. I mean, you know, Senator Lautenberger, you know, tried to file a national helmet bill last week and. You know, we had 2 days' notice, and, you know, throughout the country, I mean, you know, the different national organizations and the individual state organizations, I mean, they flooded, you know, Congress with emails and faxes, and he didn't even introduce it at the hearing. So we won, and that's what happens when we get together, when we participate, and as, you know, somebody else put on their website that, I mean, on the Facebook that I put on, too, it's like, you know, this is the government that our founding fathers didn't want us to have. You know, make a voice, you know, use your voice. And that's what you keep sending out that message, Phil and Bill. This is a biker show, and it involves individual rights and stuff, but let's, you know, bring it, you know, always keep it to motorcyclists because That's our audience.
That's right. You know, and I just want to tell everybody that, from Bill and I, Bill can speak for himself, but I just want to tell you guys, I wish you guys all a Merry Christmas,
And don't forget the troops. And if you're within 100 miles of the VA, please stop, go in and see some people, take a magazine, comic book, crossword puzzle.
An extra coat,
anything. Coat, gloves. And if you see guys in wheelchairs, don't look down. Put your hand out and say hello.
Look them in the eye.
Look them right in the eye. Same thing with the women.
Philip, one more time. Say, guys, I'm going to punch you. We want to thank our men and our women vets coming home.
You're absolutely
right.
Come on,
you and I both said we keep on top of that.
I apologize.
Both of us make that mistake. We keep saying men vets. We definitely want to acknowledge our women vets with our men vets.
Mm-hmm. And
my middle son ships out tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
God bless him.
God bless him. All right.
Sweetheart. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul, you got it. We lost Paul?
I don't know.
Paul, you were saying something. Well, I guess he's going to...
Kathleen, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
So
okay.
You make good fried chicken, Kathleen?
No. Don't go there. This is a serious moment right now.
Everybody,
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and God bless.
Same to you guys.
And what we do here is we always close the show out with a song. And since your particular better half is somewhere in New Hampshire, we always play this song because it's a
it's
song.
It's a friend of ours from Europe that does it.
It's a friend of ours from Europe that does it.
Wait, let me stop you. He's not in New Hampshire anymore. He's not in New Hampshire anymore. That was a few years back. He was murdered 3 years ago.
Sorry to hear that. We've
had quite a bad past couple of months with three of our friends
out here, too.
But this song is really for all motorcycle riders. It's not just for any club people. It is comprised by a member of Europe, Red and White Club, a singer. But the song, we've always liked it because it enhances all motorcycles. So let's let everybody...
We're gonna dedicate this to the memory of your husband and to all the brothers out there that are down.
And to all the motorcycle riders, no matter what bike you're riding, to all the men and women who ride motorcycles everywhere, I got to stop saying men only. Apologize for that, too.
Exactly. But the name of this song is by Axel Rudy Pell, and the name of this song is Forever Angel.
Can they check on this one?
I'll put it up in the chat room.
Okay, you guys might like this song in it. Good European friend of ours.
And, Kathleen, we offer you anytime you want to call in, event, or you're pissed off.
I will
call the number.
Back.
Okay,
but
if you, some chicken.
Some chicken. Mm-hmm.
But if you've never heard this song, stick around and hear this song. It's pretty good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Here's everybody. for all our friends everywhere. Good night, everybody.
You still there, Kathleen?
Yes, I am.
I sent you that link in an email.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
So do you make, like, crispy fried chicken, Kathleen? Is it a little spicy or... I'm not getting that chicken, am I?
It depends on how you want it.
Oh, little girl, I like the way you're talking.
All right, you have a good Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
You both of you do the same.
All right, good night.
Call us again soon, please.
All right, I will. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.